Well, over the last few chapters in 1 Corinthians, we've been talking about the call to put the gospel first in our relationships within the church community. And we've really been wrestling with how hard this is because it requires giving up freedoms and giving up rights that we have. So we have certain rights, we have freedoms, but because we love the church, because we have been changed by the gospel, we choose to surrender those freedoms and those rights out of preference to our brothers and sisters in the church body. That's not easy to do. You'll remember that in the Corinthian situation, the particular that brought up this whole discussion was there were certain Christians in the church at Corinth who thought it was okay to go and to eat these special festival meals in pagan temples. So temple to Apollos, temple to Athena, whatever. And they would go on Friday night and have the special meal there, which was certainly the best meat in town, right, that you could get. And so they would go and do that. They knew that Apollos wasn't real and Athena wasn't real, and so they said, okay, well, it's fine for us to go just enjoy the meal, and we know that they're not, those gods aren't really gods. There were other Christians, though, in the church at Corinth who didn't feel freedom to go and eat those meals in those pagan temples. They were concerned that it would, you know, cause them to stumble back into worshiping Apollos or worshiping Athena. And what had happened was these Christians who felt they could go, they considered themselves to be elite. And they consider themselves to be superior in their spiritual maturity. And instead of caring for their brother or sister who was concerned about the issue, they said, you know what? I have a right to go eat that meal. I have the freedom to go eat that meal. And I'm just going to go eat that meal. And so the Apostle Paul has been calling us to not behave in that manner, but rather to sacrifice our freedoms and our rights out of love for the body of Christ. This is hard relational work that we're talking about. And so as we think about it, it actually, even this week, it reminded me of that old Coldplay song where they said, nobody said it was easy, but no one ever said it would be this hard either. I mean, nobody said it would be easy in the church, but at the same time, no one ever said it would be this difficult to establish and maintain loving relationships within the church body. The hardness of doing this is what I think makes it rare. We're always tempted to take the easier road when it comes to relationships. We're always tempted to take the path of least resistance. But as we've been learning in 1 Corinthians, if we have believed the gospel, that we are now a cross-centered individual and a cross-centered church, we have to live that out. And so as we talk this morning, we're going to look again at this familiar picture as Paul uses the analogy of an athlete, and particularly an Olympic athlete. We're going to talk about how that actually is a picture of what we're called to as Christians running the race with the church community. So let's pick it up in verse 24, and we'll just get caught up to where we are and see how Paul uses this familiar image. Again, we're in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 24. He says, don't you know that the runners in a stadium all race, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way to win the prize. The Apostle Paul's alluding here to athletic contests. Again, the Olympics were in an existence during this time in some form. There was a smaller version of the Olympics called the Isthmian Games. And that's really hard to say, and I've been practicing all week to say it right. So the Isthmian Games. And that happened right around Corinth, okay? And so Paul actually was likely in Corinth when those games were going on. They had certainly had races in the stadium, as he describes here. They had wrestling, they had javelin throwing and discus and that kind of stuff. And so it's a well-known picture. And the metaphor actually almost translates exactly to what we would think of today with an Olympic athlete. So you think about these men or women lining up to run the 100 meters there in the Olympics. And so he says, don't you know that the runners in a stadium, they're all racing, but only one gets the prize. There's only one gold medal, right? And so, run in such a way to win the prize. You think about, I'll just use the 100 meters as an example, but that dash, that sprint, when you think about those racers, I mean, they get down in those blocks and every muscle in their body is tensed, ready to go. And they're like a coiled spring, right? And they are not distracted by the cameras. They're not looking at the jumbotron. They are looking straight ahead at that finish line and they are just waiting for that gun to go off. And they're going to shoot out of those blocks and run. And they're not jogging, right? And they're certainly not running in some kind of weird formation. They are running to win the race. And as Paul has talked about living as a community, as a church community, and loving one another as brothers and sisters so much we would give up our freedoms and rights, Paul says, run that race in such a way as to win it. Run hard in the Christian life with the church community. There's a recognition that if you phone it in, if you're lollygagging, and if you're not intentional about it, you won't win the race. And he says too many Christians, even at this early stage in the church, too many Christians are phoning it in. Meaning they have come to a knowledge of Jesus as their Savior. They've put their faith in Jesus, and yet now they're just like, well, you know, but I mean, you know, if I make it on Sunday, I make it. And those people that come to church, I mean, yeah, we're there, but I mean, honestly, I'm not really that close to them. I'm not going to take extra time to invest in them. And Paul says, that's not going to work. He says, just think about it like an Olympic athlete. Run in such a way as to win. There's a presumption here that running isn't easy, but it's worth it. And I think that's the big idea for us this morning. Running for Christ isn't easy, but it's worth it. Just think about that intensity of that Olympic sprinter. And God says, why don't you bring that intensity to thinking about your Christian life, and especially running the Christian life in the context of your local church? What if you brought that level of purposefulness? Now, let's just make a few observations here as we walk through this. First of all, just a caution. This is not about running to earn forgiveness, okay? The point here is not, Paul's not saying run so that maybe you'll be forgiven at the end of your life. That's not the gospel. The gospel is a proclamation that Jesus died for our sins and rose from the dead. And the good news comes in that anyone who repents and believes can be forgiven. It's something that God does for us and to us. Now, the call to live the Christian life is a result of the gospel. So Paul is actually saying, this is what faith does to you. You've put your faith in Jesus, now run this race. Okay, so it's not a race to earn forgiveness. It's actually a race we run because we've been forgiven. That's really important that we would just make sure to understand that. But the other thing we could acknowledge here is just, frankly, this, that if you're looking for the easy Christian life, it's not there. It doesn't exist. If you're looking for the Christian life that doesn't require sacrifice, commitment, devotion, and intensity, you're going to be disappointed. This kind of relational investment Paul has described in the church community, where we sacrifice for each other and we know each other well enough to do that, right? That requires intense spiritual focus. It requires us to run so that we would win, to have our eyes focused on that finish line, to be disciplined. The truth is, it's running with a purpose. Running hard for Christ, and we'll see several different, you know, characteristics of running for Christ this morning, but one of them is this, that running hard for Christ means running with purpose. Again, they're focused on that finish line. We have a purpose in our Christian lives, and that is to bring glory to God in every arena of our life, family, work, school, retirement, vacation, whatever, right? We're called to bring glory to God, to seek to make and mature disciples in all of those contexts. And Paul says, listen, if you're going to run this race, then you got to run the race. Run it with purpose. Nobody's waking up an Olympian. Could you imagine? Like on accident, like you woke up and you were like in the Olympic camp. You're like, well, I don't realize how I got here. I mean, I've been hitting the Netflix pretty hard and the Doritos, but what is this, cross-country skiing? Let me try these boots on, see how this is going to work. Oh, yeah, I'll go for that. Get me out there, stretch a little bit. I mean, nobody's waking up at the Olympics on accident, right? When you're getting to that level of excellence in your sport, just to use the analogy, there's a purposefulness in your life. Where you're dedicating your diet, your schedule, often you sacrifice your vocation, family schedules are adjusted, right? Everything's on the table because there's one purpose that you have, and it's to run this particular race. And Paul says, yeah, do that with the church. Do that as you think about investing in each other and valuing the community of the redeemed on earth. What if we thought about the pursuit of Jesus in the context of the church the same way an Olympian thinks about their event? Where we said, let's put everything on the table. Now, it's interesting, I mentioned diet. You know, Olympians have to track their diet, you know, very carefully, but in the Corinthian context, that actually the diet was an issue, because at issue was going to eat those meals in that pagan temple. He says, let's put it all on the table, though. Diet, let's put free time, let's put vocational calling, let's put how we think about retirement, let's put how we approach our family, how we think about finances and entertainment. Let's put all that on the table and just say, listen, the goal is to win this race. And because the goal is to win this race, all of this is subject to revision and review and especially sacrifice for the sake of running this Christian life. Running hard for Christ means running with purpose. I wonder, are you aware of your daily purpose? Like, have you thought it through to the point where you say, how can I bring glory to God in my work today? How can I bring glory to God as I'm dealing with this issue in my family? How can I think about this financial difficulty in a way that honors God? Or how can I approach this hurting family member or friend in a way that honors God? You see, running hard for Christ means running with purpose. And it's not easy, okay? We know it's not easy, but it's worth it. It's not just about having something to aim for, though. It's also about the discipline involved in this calling to run this race. Watch verse 25. We're going to read 25 to 27 here and just pick up on the discipline focus. He says in verse 25, "Now everyone who competes exercises self-control in everything. They do it to receive a perishable crown, but we an imperishable crown. So I do not run like one who runs aimlessly or box like one beating the air. Instead, I discipline my body and bring it under strict control so that after preaching to others, I myself will not be disqualified." Did you catch all the terms there referring to discipline, right? In 25, they have self-control in everything. 26, he doesn't run around aimlessly or box like beating the air. More on that in a minute. Verse 27, he disciplines his body and brings it under strict control. Paul says, listen, again, you're not getting there by accident. There's an element of running the Christian life here where we have to engage in control and self-discipline. We are making these sacrifices. And you know me, if you've been here long enough, you know that I have a ridiculous love of the Olympics. Like, I mean, I really enjoy the Olympics, not the figure skating stuff. I mean, the real events that they do, right? So, but I love the Olympics. But beyond all the events, you know what really gets me every year? It's those montage videos they show, those 5-minute history, of the athlete. And you're watching some Norwegian kid at 6 months old. His parents put him in those cross-country skis, and then the shed burned down, and he was running from wolves, and then he grew up to be, you know, I don't know what it is. They had to go live in the country, and it's Norway, and I don't care about Norway or cross country skiing. But by the time it comes to that race, I'm like glued to the TV, like I can't wait to see this guy win this race or whatever, right? I mean, we just love those stories. We love the stories often because it shows us all the work and discipline that had to go into them getting to that point. About what did they change in their life, and what changes did they make to their diet or their daily rigorous schedule, and who was their trainer, and how did they do, and all these things, because it tells us, man, so much discipline, so much self-control, so much purposeful effort goes into achieving that level of excellence. And Paul says, yeah, do that with the church. Do that, Corinthians, as you are relating to each other, seeking to glorify God. Do that, Green Pond Bible Chapel, as you think about running the race of the Christian life. Do that, meaning be purposeful in sacrificing and disciplining yourself for the greater purpose of glorifying God as you run this race. We could say it this way: running hard for Christ means living with self-control and making sacrifices. Means living with self-control and making sacrifices. Again, we put everything on the table. Notice the image, by the way, in verse 26. He says, "So I do not run like one who runs aimlessly." Could you imagine somebody lined up for that 100-meter dash in the Summer Olympics, and the gun goes off, and then they're like looking around for where to go, right? Like, oh, is it over here? Oh, but wait, there's Gatorade's over here. Oh, but then, oh, there's, and they're, of course, that's not going to work. You're going to run aimlessly. You run straight, right? I mean, figure out where you're going, look at the goal, and run straight. He says, "I don't run aimlessly." Or again in verse 26, "And I don't box like one beating the air." Of course, the key in boxing often is endurance. And so Paul's saying in a boxing match, if you're going around, regardless of where your opponent is, just swinging at the air, you're wasting precious energy. You're wasting that energy not accomplishing your goal of actually dealing with your opponent. And Paul says he says too many times as Christians, we're boxing the air and we're wandering on the track. We're not running with discipline, the direction that God has called us to go. What's he talking about? He's talking about not sacrificing freedoms and rights out of love for our brothers and sisters. He's saying we're so focused on ourselves, we're over here, and we're chasing the money over here, and we're so concerned with what people think of us over here, and we're chasing the achievement in the career over here, and all these other things, we're missing the point, what we're called to in the church. Run in such a way as to win. Run in such a way as to win. It means living with self-control and making sacrifices. Notice again in verse 27, he said, instead of that aimless boxing or aimless running or boxing against the air, he says, I discipline my body and bring it under strict control. He's talking about the food. And he's saying, I don't have to go eat the steak. It was meat served in those sacrificial meals in the pagan temples. I don't have to go eat the steak. I say no to myself out of love for the church. Or the other illustration he used was his own example of being an apostle and not taking a salary from the Corinthian church, not taking financial contributions from the church because he felt it would endanger the gospel mission there. He says, it's not about the money for me. It's not about the food. It's not about the money. And I can say no. I can say no to those things for the greater purpose of seeing disciples made and disciples matured with this church community. And what, I'm going to go up and eat the meat because I have a right to it and watch my brother or sister stumble? He says, no way. No way. I bring my body under control. Now, how can we do this? How can we live with self-control and make sacrifices? Well, again, remember, it's faith driving these decisions. But we can start by saying no to ourselves. This is actually why occasionally fasting in the Christian life can be a helpful discipline. When we're fasting, we give up, you know, something like a particular food or a beverage or whatever. We're saying to ourselves, I don't have to have what my body says I have to have. Your body tells you you need coffee, you don't have to have it. That's controversial, I know, but just, you know, take my word for it. Your body tells you you have to eat every day, you don't have to eat. You can skip one day of eating. Now, it's difficult, right? It's hard, there's going to be hunger there. But it's basically a way for you to tell yourself, I am the boss of my body, and I don't have to do everything that my body says I have to do. And that's just, again, it's a spiritual discipline there of saying, you know what? When I want something, but my brother or sister is struggling, I can make that sacrifice out of love for them. I don't have to just do what I want to do. We live in a culture where, in many ways, the gospel of our culture is do whatever you want to do. And Paul says, if you're going to run this race in such a way as to win it, you're going to be sacrificing a lot. Just like those Olympians sacrificed so much to get to that level. Now, maybe for us, it's not so much about food as it was for this particular example, as it is about time and effort and energy. But one way or another, we start saying no to ourselves, right? Another way we can develop this living with self-control, making sacrifices, is to stay in our lane, which means to be careful of wandering. We'll talk more about the positive image of having that focus on the prize. But for a minute here, just think about what distracts us, where we might be looking to another finish line. And we might mention money over here, where we just run hard after money, or we might mention comfort over here, that's the thing we love the most, or we just want career achievement over here, or approval of friends, or having the latest things fashion-wise, or material possessions, or whatever it is. All those things are distractions to us. And we just got to understand that when it comes to living the Christian life, necessarily we're going to have to take our focus off of those things and put them onto Christ. That's how we're going to run and stay in our lane. Loving ourselves obviously will lead us to wander out of our lane. Or we can think about the boxing image. How do we stop wasting our time and energy boxing against the air? Well, again, look at what has God called us to on a daily basis. Where am I wasting my time and not pursuing his ends? Maybe it's time to sit down with your spouse or a friend and say, yeah, I want to look at my schedule and just see how I'm actually spending my days. What's my focus here? Am I making enough time for the pursuit of God and his glory within the context of the church, let alone in my job or school or whatever it might be in my neighborhood? Where do I need to make changes? So obviously a big focus of running this race is running with discipline, right? Making those sacrifices and living with self-control. But that's not all. We're going to go back and just look again at verses 25 to 27 and watch the focus on the prize here, on the ultimate goal. Let's pick it up again in verse 25. Paul writes, "Now everyone who competes exercises self-control in everything. They do it to receive a perishable crown, but we an imperishable crown." Now pause right here. The coolest thing I learned this week studying this passage out was in the Isthmian Games, the crown that they gave the winner, okay, was made of celery. I was like, wow, that was a thing. Wow, really? You're running for celery? And I thought, well, maybe with some like guacamole or something at the end. I mean, I could see that working out a little bit, but really celery. That's all you got, right? It was a perishable wreath and very perishable at that point, right? He says, all this training, all this effort, all this energy expended, and what are they going to get at the end? A wreath made of celery. Like, that's it. It's just gone. But he says, but for the Christian, what are we running after? We're running after an imperishable prize. That means it will never lose value. It'll never erode or corrode. By the way, did you know that gold and silver and bronze have to be kept in climate-controlled conditions because otherwise they will corrode over time? It's just part of life. They're just metal. They don't last. And Paul says, you know what, Christian? What you are running towards, you're running towards receiving the inheritance, the completion of your salvation and the eternal blessings of that salvation. And that is going to be experienced in the eternal state in the New Jerusalem with the church forever. And that experience, that inheritance is imperishable, meaning it will never lose value. And so when you think about the amount of energy people put into sports and physically winning a race on earth and getting a prize, let's compare that to the infinitely valuable prize of inheriting the blessings of salvation with the church community forever, and we're phoning it in. And, you know, we're marginal in our commitment to the church family. And frankly, we'd just rather be rich, or we'd rather have this vacation time, or we'd rather whatever. And Paul says they're doing it all for a perishable crown, which doesn't last, but we are running this race for an imperishable inheritance. Let's go on. Watch. So that's why he doesn't run aimlessly or box beating the air. But watch verse 27. He says, instead, I discipline my body and bring it under strict control. Why? So that after preaching to others, I myself will not be disqualified. Paul says the finish line matters. The finish line matters. And what he was concerned with was he was ministering the gospel in Corinth. And then if he had ministered the gospel there, and then he had walked up the steps to that pagan temple and eaten that meal, he would have essentially invalidated his testimony and his witness in sharing the gospel. He said, listen, you care about Jesus more than anything except for the steak. I'll be right back. And then he goes up and eats, right? And then he's disqualifying himself as a preacher of the gospel in that sense, because he's not practicing what the gospel demands, which is loving your brother or sister more than yourself. And living that out in the community. Paul is not concerned that he would lose his forgiveness. There's so many places where, especially in the New Testament, he's so clear that our forgiveness is secure in Christ. When you put your faith in Jesus, you are forgiven not because of your obedience, but because of his obedience. But Paul knows that there are people in the Corinthian church who could be faking it. He knows that there were people in the Corinthian church who had adopted the label of Christian without actually living out the Christian life. They didn't have genuine faith, and the proof was in their decision-making. The proof was in the choices they made to not love their brother or sister, instead to just love themselves. And so these warning passages that we come across in the New Testament from time to time, they're there because sometimes in the church there are frauds who are faking it. And so Paul says, be careful that your behavior, especially when you're not valuing each other as a church, be careful that your behavior doesn't show that you're disqualified. The term we use for this theologically is called perseverance of the saints. And it actually fits the athletic metaphor. That those who have come to faith in Jesus will persevere and finish this race. But be careful, because if your decisions are showing that you might be disqualified, you might be disqualified. Which means that you need to turn to Christ. You need to confess your sin and come to him in faith. Again, running for Christ means running with purpose. It means living with self-control and making sacrifices. Thirdly, this morning, running for Christ means valuing our imperishable inheritance. Valuing our inheritance. We've talked about it in the recent weeks, but we all value something every day. We have a priority that we're chasing after. And Paul says, listen, if you're in the church, run hard after your imperishable inheritance. It's so much more valuable than all this other stuff, all of those things, examples we gave, the money or the career, the whatever. It's just pleasure, comfort, entertainment, power. It's better. It's infinitely better. And so what we need to do this morning is we need to ask, okay, wait a minute. All right, I'm someone, let's just say, I've put my faith in Jesus, okay? I'm forgiven of my sins. But now I'm called to run this race, to live this Christian life in the context of the church community. And it's hard because there's a lot of people. And so I have to invest and engage, not just because there's a lot to know, but that to know people well and to love them well requires energy and investment. And so I need to ask the question, am I running this race purposefully? Am I running this race with sacrifice and with self-control? Am I running this race with an eye on the finish line because I know what's coming? I know the inheritance that I'm going to receive, and therefore it's worth it for me to make these changes. Now, I can't answer this for you, but you have to ask the question, do I need to make changes today? Do I need to make changes in my attitude toward my Christian life in general? Do I need to make changes in how I'm approaching being a follower of Jesus? Frankly, for some of us who've been Christians for a long time, it's easy to just kind of fade into a casualness about our faith. And Paul says here, run the race so that you would win it. Run hard. Yes, running for Christ isn't easy, but it's worth it. Maybe you're here and you're not a follower of Jesus. There's an opportunity for you to repent of your sin, to acknowledge, yes, I'm a sinner, but I turn away from that and I'm going to trust Jesus and his death and resurrection for the forgiveness of my sins. Maybe today's the day that you need to start the race and get on this track and get going. Or maybe you're here and as a Christian, you just know that you're not investing in the church community the way you should. You know that you're phoning it in with regards to this church family. And you're thinking, I need to make changes. I need to consider, do I need to get involved in this ministry? Do I need to find out where that care group meets? Do I need to have a discussion with a pastor or an elder about how I can deal with this problem in my life or how I can reach out to this person who I know is struggling? The truth is, as much as running the Christian life is like a race, it's really like a race that we run together. And so we can't do it without each other. In fact, even perseverance of the saints, as we run hard in the midst of trials and difficulties, we can't do it without each other. And so God helpfully clarifies for us here, listen, you're called to run this race. Run in such a way as to win. Running for Christ isn't easy, but it's definitely worth it. My friend Eric Little knew a thing or two about running. You might remember Eric Little was a Scottish sprinter who won gold in 1924 in the Olympics. His story is made famous in the movie Chariots of Fire, right? You may remember that movie. He had this standard that, especially because of the church in which he worshipped, that he would not run on Sundays. And so they get to the Olympics, and of course, somewhat, I think, scandalously, they scheduled his race on a Sunday. And so he ended up not running the race he was best at and had prepared for. He ended up running a different race on a different day. And the greatness of the movie is that, of course, he ends up winning the race, and he won gold anyway. So there you go. It's kind of a little just a kind providence of God in that. But he gets home from winning the gold, and of course he is a national hero and all of this. He gets home from Scotland and he's doing tours to all these different places and they're making a big deal about it. But at one of the celebration banquets, the speaker who was talking about what he had done said this. He said, there are greater issues in life than sport. I tell you, you could just stop right there in American culture, and we need to hear that. There are greater issues in life than sport. He said, here's a young man who considered the commandment to rest and worship high above the fading laurel crown. He could have said fading celery crown, right? Here's a young man who considered the commandment to rest and worship high above the fading laurel crown and who conquered. And he wasn't talking about the gold medal. He was talking about the fact that Eric Little was running a different race that was far more important than the Olympics. He was running the race of the Christian life. Of course, his commitment was, I'm not going to compromise my faith and run the race on the Sunday. And he knew that actually if he had done that, it would have hurt his brothers or sisters back in Scotland that he worshipped with. He literally gave up that freedom that he had in Christ out of deference. But he could have won the gold medal easily in that race. Yeah, he could have. But the church matters more. And maybe he pictured the faces of those believers as he said, no, I can't run that race. He said, I can't run it for them. Of course, the truth is, he was running the more important race. And he was running it in such a way as to win. What you don't know the rest of the story for Eric Little is that he did end up going to China as a missionary. And he was excited for that far more than going to the Olympics. He ended up going to China, made tremendous sacrifices to be there. World War II broke out. He ended up in an internment camp in Japanese-occupied Japan and ended up dying in that internment camp before the end of the war. He won the race. Not the one in 24, but the other one. And he certainly ran it in such a way as to win. The question is, will we do the same? Running for Christ isn't easy, but it's worth it. Would you pray with me this morning? Lord, we pause together and we ask for your help as we seek to live out this command, to run in such a way as to win. Lord, we confess that this running is not to earn our salvation. We could never earn our salvation. It is a gift by your grace, and we thank you for that and praise you for Jesus who died for our sins and rose from the dead. But Lord, we think about that, the reality that faith should drive us to run this race, the race of the Christian life, to run it in the community of the church, valuing one another, making sacrifices for one another. Lord, I thank you for the opportunities that we have had to do that as a church body, but I pray for more. I pray that we would grow in our understanding of the importance of running this race together. Lord, we pray that you would protect us against wandering eyes that would look to other ultimate means of satisfaction like money or career or peer approval or pleasure or whatever it is. Lord, help us to keep our eyes focused on the prize. And Lord, we ask that you would convince us that this imperishable inheritance, what we are running towards, is far greater than any other pursuit in life. Lord, we thank you for our brothers and sisters in the church body who run alongside us and encourage us. Lord, if we have sin to confess, we pray that your Spirit would convict us this morning, maybe about prioritizing church relationships, maybe about other things that we're being distracted by. Lord, help us to confess those in confidence of forgiveness because of Jesus and what he's done for us. Lord, we ask that you would give us a passion to run this race for your glory with intensity and purpose, with self-control, making sacrifices, and Lord, with an eye on the ultimate goal, what you have done for us in Christ, experiencing that inheritance together. Lord, help us to run this race so as to win it. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.